إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وبعد، today inshallah we want to discuss the title of the woman, because in every magazine, in every media source, you're seeing the Muslim woman being slandered. So we want to put things in perspective for us to understand, and this is how we charge our batteries of iman, by understanding our own deen. It's extremely imperative for the Muslims to understand what is the role of the female and what is the role of the male, so that they can understand their deen, so they don't have to have this interpretation every time somebody puts a cover of a magazine that's slanting towards Muslim women. They have to feel something in their heart and say, oh, maybe it's true, or maybe we should be a little bit more westernized, a little bit more naked. I think we need to learn all these things in order to come to a better understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in English, you have the word called woman, and you have the word called female. And if you look at the word itself, if you just analyze the word just by a glance, you see woman is W-O-M-E-N. W-O-M-E-N. And if you look at the word female, it's F-E-M-A-L-E. So everything is attached to the male. The woman is attached to the men, and the fee is attached to the male. So it is process of buying the female over, and this is the history of women in North America. Now, in Arabic, you will see it called Nisa, and then you will see the men called Rijal. Totally different. Has no connection with Nisa, Rijal. Has nothing to do with female or woman. Now in Islam, with women, she, when she marries, she keeps her own name. Now we have adopted the Western civilization because we have no other, we think we have nothing to turn to, but she thinks that she has no other possibility except what to accept her husband's name. So if her husband's name is Ahmed or Fulan, she has to take that name because she is not good enough to keep her name and her identity, so she has to keep her name. Now in some instances, we're living here, it becomes a bit awkward if they use it casually, but I think the woman should not give up her name because she does not give up her identity with marrying the male. So in Islam, the woman keeps her name. And the woman is distinct in every cell in her body. She's distinct. She's not like everyone else. She's not like the male. So she is distinct in every cell of her body. And she has marked difference in her appearance. You can see a woman from a man. Now they're trying to do everything possible to make everyone look alike. But at the same time, there's a stark contrast between the male and the female. Now if a woman is given androgen, the male hormone, she becomes more aggressive. It is by nature, when they go bodybuilding and take all these steroids, her nature is not in tune with that. So she becomes more aggressive and more tempered. And if a man is given estrogen, the female hormone, he becomes more passive and more relaxed. And this is the study that was done for many years, and this is the same results that they keep getting. Now Dr. White, he said there's nowhere in the animal kingdom you see fathers assume the basic role to take care of a newly born. The basic role of take care of the newly born. There are some aberrations to that rule, because you'll see some alligators doing that, but on the whole, and there's a purpose to that, because of the environment that they live in, and there are some species that do that, but at the same time, the vast majority of species, the human beings, the animals, the mother has that role to take care. She has that basic role to take care of the newly born. Now a mother monkey started to kill her babies because they gave her what? They administered her androgen. They gave her the male hormone. And she started to kill her babies because she became more aggressive and more tempered. They're playing with the nature of Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So they're playing with that, and they're finding huge problems in that. So, and it's a very sick experiment, but they try to find out why is that. So when they gave the male hormone, the monkeys started to kill her babies. Because she's not, her build, her makeup is not that of a male monkey. So now the girls with excessive androgen, they display less interest in infants. If you give them a male hormone, they will display less interest with any kind of babies. And that's just by the nature of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And this was about Maryam alayhi salam. So, but at the same time, we understand that the dhakar is not like the untha. That the male is not like the female. They're different. They have different roles and they have different objectives in life. But at the same time, they still live under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in equity rather than being equal in strength and in every other facet. Because you can find a male do something that is extremely horrible and the female can come around and make it very good because she is prone to that kind. She tilts towards that artistic ability while the male cannot by a general consensus. Now, the woman has a different identity than the man. She has her individuality. And if she tries to be more like the man, and the man tries to be more like the woman, then what are we going to get in society? A bunch of sick people that cannot even go around conducting their affairs in a proper fashion. This is what we're going to get. And in Islam, men and women are both created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no difference that if a woman says subhanallah, she will be rewarded less than a man says subhanallah. There's no such thing as that. So we are created equal to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no anxiety in the Muslim culture between male and female. There's no anxiety. We don't have this, let us compete, and how we're going to compete. As they can see, in Manhattan alone, the first 5 years of marriage, 70% of marriages they break, because both are being dressed for success. What kind of success is that, that you get married for death do us part? You get married for that reason, and then, that's from their philosophy, that's from their doctrine, and then at the end, what happens? You divorce within 5 years, 70% go down the drain because everyone is dressing for success. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ, that the believing men and the believing women, the subservient men and the subservient women, it's not just the men, because this is what they're trying to portray in the media, that all our sisters are backwards if they try to adhere to the hijab. Now somebody can walk naked out there and she can feel totally fulfilled that she's a woman of the 2000 era. And if a woman tries to cover herself, she's all of a sudden she's blamed for being somebody backward and submissive. And this is not our attitude towards the women. Now if you understand your own culture, in 1929, the women were given the right to vote. They were given a right as persons. That's why they made a statue in Ottawa in 1929. They fought for their rights, so they were given the right to be called persons. Because before that, they were not called persons. But over 1400 years ago, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them that dignity well and beyond that. And only in the 1800s, the Church of England gave them the right to inherit. And that's in the 1800s. That's not 1,000 years ago. That's only a couple of hundred years ago. Give them the right to inherit. So look at your own history before you start pointing a finger towards Islam. Now, the idea of a soul, because they believed in England, the Church of England believed that the woman did not have a soul, that she was just made as cattle or as chattel for the male. She was just something that was bought and sold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, that whoever does righteous deeds from the dhakar, from the male and the female. So there's a clue in that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not distinguish in terms of giving His reward from the male and the female. And what a beautiful example that is. If I can ask the brothers inshallah to move from that wall and everybody come closer, so inshallah we don't crowd the sisters inshallah, and so we don't keep interrupting our session inshallah. Now, the pagans used to bury their girls alive. That was the case. Umar radiallahu anhu, he did that before accepting Shahada. Burying the girls alive. Why? Because this was the rule. Because they believed that they had no soul. But this was actually prohibited after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Why don't they put that in magazine? Why don't they put that on TV and see what a lofty role that the women had to learning education? That is fara'id, that is fard on the male and the female to go and learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In India, still now, they're still burying the girls alive. They're still suffocating them with pillows. They're throwing them in trenches. They're leaving them on doorsteps. They're leaving them in garbage bins. And they're still having a huge problem now. Because why? Because we are also adopting that Hinduistic culture. Because we now start having this big dowry problem. Oh, if you have a girl, you have to give all kinds of furniture and a car and this and that, the other. Otherwise she can't get married. But in Islam, it's totally different. If you follow the totally Islamic rule, that men are supposed to give the mahar. Men are supposed to give the marital gift, not the woman. Not the woman. And you see the upbringing that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the woman and the male so they can live together in harmony in society. Now in Islam, Eve, Hawa, she is not blamed for the original sin. But if you look at their doctrine, she is blamed for the original sin. She is the one who did it. She is the one who brought the fruit. But in Islam, she is not blamed. And actually, one of the verses in the Quran, only Adam is singled out, alayhi salam. But both of them take the blame of going to the tree. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that. So the man actually is taking more of a blame. If you look at the total verses of the Quran that's talking about them not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِي, that the shaitan made them slip and made them get out from the place they were in. And this is what the shaitan did. But at the same time, they were all, and one of the verses, only Adam is blamed. Because this is how we should look. We should not give the original sin. So where the woman is having child labor, that she is blamed for making or instigating the fall of man by giving him the forbidden fruit. And we don't look at it that way. So next time you see or somebody blabbing something, you say, look at your own doctrine. She's told her that she has pain. When she has pain, that's why she's giving such a big ajr for having that pain by the very mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Islam indoctrinates us how? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ, that they are a garment for you, and you are a garment for them. And this is why we are failing even in our marriages in Muslim lands, because we're no longer garments. We're like battling. It's verses rather than garments. Garment is a very delicate term that you wear, that something is very close to your skin, and sometimes it might irritate you, but you don't tear it off and throw it because the cold or the heat will devastate you. So you try to wear that garment in a way that's suitable for you. And at the end, the garment wears out because one dies before the other. Or they die close together. And they're garments for each other. Now Quran utilizes this very delicate phrase to give us this example as to how we should have this relationship between husband and wife. So the woman is held in a very high esteem in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the world and all the things in the world are precious, but the most precious thing in the world is a virtuous woman. Virtuous woman. And that's what we should be looking for. We're only looking for beauty. We're only looking for how much money she has, or what kind of clan she comes from, or her father is rich and I can get a car once I marry into her. This is what we're looking at. We should be looking at piety, and we should be looking at the tree, that how good the tree is, that how good they will take care of my daughter rather than giving it to some wretched person and then make her life miserable. How dare you bring her up for 18, 20, 24 years and then give it to a wretched human being? That's an ultimate treachery on the part of the father to do that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, he said, fear Allah in respect of women. Fear Allah in respect of women. Be conscious of that, because you have an overriding presence. Male by the very nature are more dominant than the female. No matter what you try to do, they're more dominant. So be very, very careful. The best of you, khayrakum, the best of you are the best to their wives. And another one, خَيْرَكُمْ لِأَهْلِ, that you, the best of you are the best to their family. The families who? Has to contain your wife. So it's all there. The Islamic teaching is all there. How many people are good to their wives? How many people are good to their sisters? How many people are good to their mothers? This is the role that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the male to understand, that how good you should be to the women. Now the media, number one, it says they are submissive. This is their own disturbed vision. This is not our vision. This is their disturbed vision. They want women to be half naked so they can sell their products. Potato chips has to be sold with naked women now. Cars have to be sold with naked women. And where's the dignity of the lady then? Why are you selling a piece of plastic or fiberglass with rubber tires and then say, here, we are dignifying the lady, she's in the 20th century or the 21st century, and look, she's being dignified because she's selling potato chips with her voluptuous looks. And this is the sickness that the society is giving. Now, the hijab is always being taunted at. 60 seconds there's a rape somewhere. Every couple of minutes there's an assault on a lady in the United States of America. And they call it the greatest civilization on earth. The greatest civilization on earth cannot protect its own women. But yet they can go and bomb everyone else properly. They can go and kill Iraq. Totally strangulate human beings. And then somebody needs to ask a question. Why are we as Muslims having a shut mouth? Why don't we say, when anybody talks about Iraq, that we should get rid of Saddam Hussein? Yeah, we don't have anything to do with them. Because Saddam Hussein himself, they keep saying, oh, he gassed his own people. Yeah? Well, who are his own people? The Kurds? Do you think he's from Kurdistan? Do you think he's originally Kurdi? Just like saying his own people is like saying Andrew Jackson, the Cherokees were Andrew Jackson's own people. Because he was subjugating them as slaves and killing them off. Andrew Jackson had nothing to do with the Cherokees. Just like Saddam has nothing to do with the Kurds or any other Muslims. And he's just a tyrant. But when they say that, they say, do you advocate killing of millions of babies? Do you advocate that? Just ask them that question. And then they will be able to answer. Either yes or no. Just you demand a yes or no answer. Do you advocate killing of children? Just ask that. Close to 2 million people have died in Iraq so far, and not one misery that we can see coming out of that country. We can't see anything on TV. It's only we see Saddam Hussein shooting an old rifle. Well, why is that? Because it's a methodical plan to gain oil. That's all it is. So hijab is a protective thing for the female. So when they call themselves mostly civilized or the highly civilized society, then they should understand that they're not really civilized. Because if you can't protect your own ladies, then you're not civilized. And they're being attacked, and some rape victims don't even come forward. And they have rape kits all, they're backlogged in police stations, and they don't have money. But they have billions of dollars to throw bombs on innocent human beings. In Afghanistan, in Sudan, in all over the place, they have bombs to throw. But they don't have money to go through and catch serial rapists. This is just a methodical plan to lull us to sleep. Now, woman versus the naked woman. Well, what else? What else is it? The one who's being clothed and the one who's being naked. Even the animal on the street is not naked. And our sisters should be very, very careful in how they're dressing, because they should have their modesty in their hands. They have their dignity. They should tell them, speak to my brain and not to my material sense. Speak to me with an intellectual capacity. And this is the right of the woman. Now, fashion designers like Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein, they come up with all the leading designs. And then right away, they have low cleavage, high skirts, and you have to keep wearing them. You have to keep wearing them. Why? Why? Why do you have to keep wearing them? This is the question you have to ask. The sisters have to ask themselves. Because this is the way of submitting. This is submission. Not submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to ask, who is under submission? When you have to wear a certain logo, when you have to wear a certain style, who is under submission? The Muslim woman who is trying to wear her own attire, or the one who is being submitted under Tommy Hilfiger? You ask. Secondly, they're forced to marry against their will. Who said that? Who said that the Muslim women are forced to marry against their will? Islam is different from the culture that we see. Islam is very, very clear. The lady came to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after she was contracted in a marriage contract. And she came, she said, I did not give permission for this contract. He told her very clearly, and it's sahih. He said, go and divorce him. You have a right to divorce him. She said, no, I like him. But because she is establishing the rights of women. Because Muslim women were not somebody you throw back. It doesn't mean that you're courageous if you come out and blaring with your speech and your dress and your look. This doesn't mean that you're courageous or intellectual or you have certain capacity to understand things. Understanding things meaning that you understand with the intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Now, she established the right for the women over 1400 years ago. The man has to give the marital gift. And she can also dissolve the marriage unilaterally if she is being dealt with unjustly. It's called khula. It's no such thing as that she needs to be in a marriage and like the Hindus when they die and then she needs to be segregated in a room until she dies herself or she should throw herself into the fire. This is the doctrine that people are teaching in the Indian subcontinent. And we don't aspire to that. Number three, no such thing as honor killing. They keep saying this is a Muslim practice. There's no such thing in the Quran or the Hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as honor killing. And there's no such thing as that she should walk three steps behind the male or that she should be permanently in the kitchen bare feet and pregnant. There's no such thing as that. There's no Hadith that states that. Number five, that the woman is given no financial rights. On the contrary, she is given more financial rights than anyone else over 1400 years ago. All her possession belongs to her. The husband has no rights to that unless she gives it out of her own goodwill. And in Islamic histories, ladies built masajids. Now our sisters are poor. They're only given a little bit something. Oh, go and buy your makeup or go and buy something so you can just live your life. And they built universities, they built libraries, they built hospitals, they had endowments. They were out doing something. They were not just sitting idly by, chit-chatting or watching soap opera. This is not the role of the lady in Islam. And she also inherits. She's not somebody who does not inherit. So what Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed us, that he is the forerunner for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything has a link to the human being. So how can a woman not have a link to the human being? How can she not be a human being? The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave an example of a man riding an ox. So the ox turned to him and said, I have not been created for this purpose. The ox turned to him and said, I have not been created for this purpose. Meaning there is a purpose for the ox. It has a different purpose. You're not supposed to ride a milking cow. You ride a horse. And what's the difference between a horse and a donkey? They're all from the similar breeds. But the horse can be used in battle, or it can be used as racehorses, it can be used to ride. And a donkey is used more for labor. This is the difference, but it's a vast difference. They might look similar on surface. So thus the woman is created equal as a partner to the male. And it is imperative that she has her own purpose. She's not created without purpose. She's not supposed to be a high-tech manager somewhere, or the male's purpose is to be a high-tech manager somewhere. Their purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in harmony. The male and the female, we're not supposed to be belligerent to say that, yes, look at us, we're the greatest people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a hadith that says, قَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Who has the best right to my company, the best, use the word, Ihsan, Hasan, who has the best, who should I give the most care to? Said, your mother, thumma man, who else after that? Qala ummuka, qala thumma man, qala ummuka, qala thumma man, qala abuk. Wafi riwayatin, qala ummuka, thumma abuka, thumma adnaka, fa adnaka. And these are both sahih hadith. That it said, that who should I give the best company to? Your mother. Then who? Then your mother. Then who? Then your mother. And then who? Then your father. Then your father. And then in the other riwayah it says, your mother, your father, then the ones who are closest to you, and the ones who are closest to you. These are the teachings of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you should give the best company to your mother. And who is she? She's not a male. She's a female. And this is how we actually elevate the status of the lady. Now the statement was from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago, shattering and wrecking and destroying and demolishing any ill-conceived idea that they had about women, totally destroying it, uprooting it, eradicating it, nothing left of it. Why? Because a woman has that dignity. So everywhere when she is being slandered for wearing that hijab, the male should stand up, the woman should stand up and defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're too busy learning our small little things so we can get our midterm test and how do we get ahead, and how, and then our sisters being raped in Chechnya and Palestine and Kashmir, and we can't say anything, and we have to keep taking this nonsense day in and day out that we have to be submissive. Oh yes, perchance they might be right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ حَقَّ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, and don't associate any things with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that be good to your parents, be excellent to your parents. Look at it right after, not associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be good to your parents. Be good to your parents. And how many of our brothers and sisters who come from back home now, that they think that they have freedom because they can drive their car? Who bought you the car? Your father bought you the car. Who bought you the car? Your parents bought you the car. And now you can go around and curse them and say, I will report you to social welfare and put lies on their heads. And that's been happening even in our community. So we have to wake up and see that what a great stature that the lady has in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over the primary text of Allah, meaning the Qur'an, and analyze for yourself. There are numerous verses uplifting the lady, but we're not willing to study. We're not willing to go that far. That one of the male, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مَا حَقُّ وَالِدَيْن? Well, what is the haq for the walidain? On the walad, on the child. He said, جَنَّتُكَ وَنَارُكَ, that they are your Jannah or they are your Naar. They are either your paradise or they are either your hellfire, is how you treat your parents. And one of your parents is a female. So we give the utmost respect to the female. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wretched, may his nose be rubbed in dust, who does not enter Jannah to seeing his old parents old in their age, and he does not attain that felicity of being entered into Jannah because he was not good to them. So you have to be good to your parents, and one of them, remember, is a female. So the ultimate quest in Islam is to reach Jannah and to evade Naar, and hence the woman is equated to the human's utmost joy and permanence of grief, because she is, either she is your Naar or she is your Jannah. This is the utmost that you can see. And over 60%, actually some of them rate over 75% of the females that come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all their attacks and with all their nonsensical statements are women. The last four shahadas that took place, except one of Brother Rabi, they were all women. So we can see our history. Umar radiallahu anhu was challenged in the masjid by a woman. Now they say her voice is aura. She was challenged in the masjid, and he said, she is right and I am wrong. The woman gave opinion, Ummu Salama gave opinion to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to what to do, because the crowd had become stubborn. They did not know what to do, they were in a state of confusion. She gave advice to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Education, duty on every female and male, vote and involvement in political processes. Why? Because the women did at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam involved in that. The female gave refuge to some of their clan members. That was a political process, because they knew their rights. And it is a glorious history, and all in 23 years. I'm not talking about 2,000 years. I'm talking about 23 years. Now if you look at Aristotle, well, look what he said. He said women are considered, they are not considered full humans. If you look at St. Thomas Aquinas, who is the genesis of the Renaissance, or the biggest guy in the Western history, Enlightenment, in the age of Enlightenment, he said, women are a trap of Satan. The Protestant, the age of Enlightenment came, then the women were still not human beings. People like Voltaire and Rousseau, they said they differ from men. They're not up to the capacity of men. Then you have the Industrial Revolution, where the female movement took place. Then you have World War II, the emancipation of the women. Then now you get that the woman is no different than the men. Either you're going one way or you're going the other way, so you have no balance. Now if you hold the door open for somebody, they find it offensive that, don't you think I have two hands to do it? Well, go ahead. I'm just doing it out of courtesy. So we have to look at how we're given. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35, it said, let your women keep silence in the church. Why they keep talking about our women that we're dressed this way? Let your women keep silent in the church. Let them ask their husbands. Meaning, don't even educate themselves. Let them ask their husbands. It is a female. It is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. It is a shame for her to speak. In Matthew 5:32, who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. In our history, if a woman is divorced and she has a right after her period of separation, she has a right to marry again. This is the lofty station that the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So look at your statements and then see where we're coming for. Tortillian, he asked, was talking about a lady and she said it's a devil's gateway. It's a devil's gateway. Number two, said she's the dissenter for the divine law. Can you imagine the first one who broke the divine law is a woman? That's how he's pointing. And you should destroy. You destroy so easily God's image, man. He as a lawyer should actually have shame on him. She should go out and sue him. Because talking about such rubbish about his own female companion. And I end with this, inshallah, that St. Thomas, he said, as regards to the individual nature, woman is defective and misbegotten. Defective and misbegotten. This is the head of the intellectual processes that took place in the Western civilization. He is still quoted as one of the head leaders. In the Orthodox Jewish morning prayer, it says, blessed be God, King of the universe, that thou hast not made me a woman. This is one of the du'a in the morning. The Old Testament, it says that a childless widow must marry her husband's brother, and even if she's already married and regardless of her consent, so that she might bear a child for him. That's Genesis 38. And I end with this. If you rape, therefore marry. Deuteronomy 28 to 32. Where is the right of the woman? If you're raped, you must marry. So this gives a full right to go out and go and rape women? This gives you full right? Or if I rape a woman, then okay, then I should marry her. So if I want to marry a woman, I should go and rape her first? If I don't get her consent? This is what they're saying? So when they blame the Muslim woman for wearing the hijab itself, then be sure that if you point one finger, you're pointing four to yourself. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to defend the deen. We should not be such people to have our head in the sand and our body outside the sand. Our sisters should cover their modesty and should wear the hijab with elegance and look beautiful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never mind all these sick men gawking at them. And should the contract marriages of with good brothers who are praying, who are fasting, who are taking care of their families, who are responsible. Responsible doesn't mean that he has a big bank account. Responsible means that he's out there, going out there to fend, because one day the bank account could finish and he could be useless to begin with. So you have to see the worth of the male that you're contracting. This is how the role of the lady should be. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand our deen and to defend his way. Ameen.